We've changed times too, so.
Yeah, you're back to
Okay.
same time as I am now. Yeah.
Because it's right.
Yeah.
Is it 8 hours now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, okay, is there anything you want to talk about today or do? Silence.
Well, I wanted to tell you, I think this is pretty cool. About, I don't know, maybe 2.5 years ago or something, I had a dream where, anyway, I'll say the short part of the dream, but I was in water by kind of like a gateway of a tower, and I knew I needed to go back to home base where I belonged. And so then the next scene is I'm up in the tower looking out, and it's a cat that has a bandage on his foot that's doing an illegal move and jumping accelerated rate up there. And then he's down. Well, I'm like the cat, so I'm kind of both. And he's down looking at the territory, just kind of looking around. Then I'm inside waiting, and there's a broadcaster man, and he's interviewing all these women to talk to him, all these women, and I notice they're women and they're the daughters of the women, and I'm waiting in line, and it's a news broadcaster that's going out over the waves. So, and I knew that this man was going to help me to figure out this new territory because I was the tiger that was kind of looking at this high tower. So anyway, years later, when you jumped on the scene, I knew that was you. It was like, oh, that's perfect, because you're broadcasting. One time you said the word, we're broadcasting. And I went, oh, he's that guy that I dreamt about that's teaching us how to live in that realm, that high tower, that, you know, we enter in the gate, and then we're learning. And so here I had a prophetic dream about what you do. So, yeah, I've always known that. And I said, sometime I'm going to share that because, you know, it's fun when we see something before time and then we're in it. So
yeah.
I guess it's my time now because I'm part of it. So I waited, and now here I'm part of the event, even though I don't ask a lot of questions because I'm learning so fast. So
awesome. Yeah, well, that's great, isn't it? I mean, and I think it's great to see just how God is connecting people and beginning to do these things that He's prepared years ahead for us to now begin to connect and walk into, you know. And, you know, even when you think 12 months ago, we didn't really know each other. And in 12 months, there's a whole shifting of connections, kingdom relationships, establishing of government and authority, and God is beginning to move things into place, you know. And you know, that's what I see, it's this moving of people and connections into place so that we're ready for what's coming.
Yes,
you know, and that's it's really, really important. And so some of these connections are God ordained and really, really important for what's coming, and so that we can be ready and prepared to bring government. I mean, that's going to be the issue in the future, is the government of heaven on earth, and who is going to be living under that government and manifesting that government, and therefore who are going to be those that the world is wanting to come to. And God is looking for volunteers who are willing to say, yeah, me, I'm willing. You know, because and the thing I like about it is that we're all a bunch of nobodies in one sense, that no one else really knows, but God knows. And that's why, you know, He could give you a dream about something several years ago and now start to bring it about, you know. And I think He's doing that with lots of people. You know, we just had a really great weekend with a couple of guys who we had some meetings and different things. And, you know, there were just, again, connections in the kingdom, and you could see where God had moved things and how relationships. You know, we had Jonathan Cavan here for the weekend, just hanging out. I mean, well, in fact, the whole week. I mean, he spent the whole week here. We just hung out with him. It was just great in terms of engaging and relationship and stuff. And you can just see, you know, 12 months ago when I first met him, Lightbusters was a thing that a few people that he knew and he did, and that was it, really.
Mm-hmm.
So God opened up the connections that then established a way of broadcasting, because actually, you know, when I first met Jonathan, the first thing we started talking about was how could we get what Lightbusters was to a whole load of people. And so I said, well, I've got a technique that really works. We can actually use this. Let's try it out. So our church became the practice or the alpha group for that broadcast, where we used Google Hangouts to broadcast, and he trained us, and then that has now spread to beta groups and other things all over, simply because God made a connection, and that connection produced creativity, and that creativity birthed something and enabled that to spread all over the world, you know, and God just does that all the time, you know, so it's really awesome. To see these things forming. I love it.
Well, since I'm talking, I'm going to continue on with that. So I was with my therapist recently, and he was going to volunteer that evening for a women in crisis, and he was going to be a therapist, and then his wife was going to cut hair, and there was going to be tarot card readings and acupuncture. And right when he said that, I went, oh, and I thought of lie busting. So I said, so a group of us do lie busting, especially a friend of mine, and I told him about it, and he's not a Christian. He got really excited, and he goes, Ken, do you think that I could set her up with these people that do this another time, you know, not this year, but he goes, do you think she would do that? That just gets my mind going. He goes, I could use lie busting, he goes. And he's just like going, that would be great if they could. And he goes, and I could see this in another venue, in a camp retreat that I do. What? Can you tell me more about this? And so anyway, it really opened up the door, and I really made it, of course, non-religious. But I just set the trigger points from childhood, you know. And anyway, just he's somebody who's a connector, and here we're in Portland. But whenever somebody says something like tarot card readings, that's the light that I said, we should be there. We should be there with those women in crisis. And so that just really showed me the hunger and what a great name that is, that it could be used in different arenas. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's right. You know, but, you know, it's all those things, you know, 12 months ago, when that was just in its infancy, you know, we didn't do the beta group training until January this year. Now there are like hundreds of groups or people, hundreds of people who are now connecting in groups that are now forming a relationship, and those relationships are beginning to engage. And I know I think I was talking to Alice last night, who was engaging with Jody yesterday from here and there. So there are these connections all over that God is beginning to establish in the kingdom for a time such as this, you know, and I think that's what we've got to see. We're called for a time such as this because this is a critical period in history, and he's connecting people for that time so that we are going to be ready to establish the government of God. You know, it is, and it's a privilege to be involved. You know, it really is a privilege to actually have an involvement in that, and just see how the connections are being made, and you know how people are beginning to take their governmental positions in heaven and realize their authority and how they've been called and who they are in God's eyes, rather than in all the stuff that everyone else says. Actually, it's what God says, you know, and that's great, you know. So I sort of see it as a real privilege to be able to be involved in some way in that, which is excellent. Yeah. Excellent. All right. Anyone else?
Sharon? Well, I had, I mean, it is a great privilege, and we're all in a relationship, right? But the last, 10 days, an interesting thing has come up several times over and over. And it's dealing with that level of confrontation. And confronting something that It's like three or four times, you know, control and manipulation. And I'm finding that by the third time, I'm getting better at it.
Well, that's practice.
So the people that are around, you know, we're all like, okay, oh, everybody's kind of freaking out. But then I'm like, well, okay, this is a lesson learned, right? We need to learn how to do this. I mean, I'm finding that I did something on Sunday night, and I wanted two people to be there, but I didn't contact them, but I sent a text message out of my spirit. I want you to be there. And they showed up. They said I said, I sent you a message. And they're like, that's weird. So we're learning all those things, and you know, now when I'm doing worship things, I'm having everybody step in, whether they understand it or not. And it just makes it explosive. And that, you know, as it gets good, we also have to deal with that level of confrontation, I guess I'll call it, when we're confronted with something. And I just wanted you to address that a little bit, because I'm finding that the more that we, a lot of times we'll see something, and as seers too, we'll go away and we won't talk to anybody. And I'm finding that communicating our vulnerability in these situations, first of all, it's hard. Mm. And second of all, you have to talk about it to deal with it. And it just seems like right now, the Lord is really dealing with that right now. I mean, I've had like at least 3-4 incidences where I've had to, I guess, practice how to deal with spiritual pride and the control and manipulation which comes along with it. And I just wanted you to address that a little bit, because I want to learn how to do it better and to do it in the right way, and to do it from where it, you know, Ian says, step into your office, you know, step into my office, and in the spirit, and take care of it, so that the dividing line between the person and the spirit. I mean, I think he's showing us that, you know, how we're actually to deal with things.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those. It's a difficult situation in anything, in terms of relationship and how we, you know, sort of deal with relationships. Particularly when they become confrontational and everything else. And in the kingdom, essentially, the kingdom brings conflict. Jesus made it really clear that the kingdom would bring a sword, and that would potentially divide family members. You know, it would cause a separation over the truth, because the truth divides. Do you believe it or do you not believe it? And so that there's always that separation. And within the kingdom, the truth brings. And you know, when the truth brings reality and people accept the reality, and it's like they enter into the revelation of it and they receive that and change, that's brilliant. It's when they don't receive the revelation of it and then they oppose it and they won't follow, that's when it's not so easy. But obviously, Jesus gave us a model. And the first thing to do is to talk to the person where the issue is, and in love, bring the issue up. You know, and that's the key. And the reason for doing that is not so much that we have a problem with the person, but we want any offense or any issue removed so that there's no breakdown of relationship. And you know, it's not that we're looking for to be proved right or anything in that. The issue is, okay, there's a problem here. I know this person's got something against me. I know that I'm feeling something towards that person. Therefore, something has to give. And Jesus said the thing to do is to go and talk to them. Now, if they don't listen, then the next step is you talk to them with somebody else. You know, and therefore then you have a witness to the situation who is somebody who can mediate in the situation, if you like. But the reality is, if the person refuses to listen, then you have to escalate the situation. Now it's difficult when you're not in the same church, maybe, or you're not in the same movement, and you're looking to do it in the kingdom. Then how do you escalate it? Well, you have to go to those who are operating in apostolic authority, benches of three, chancellors. You have to bring a heavenly government into it to make a judgment. You know, that's what benches of three do. They bring judgment. They judge over situations. And when there are two things going on and there are two people who are in conflict, then if it's not been resolved by the normal communication methods of bringing reconciliation and forgiveness and, okay, let's forgive each other and let's move on, if that doesn't take place, then you have to deal with it judicially. And that's what benches of three do. They bring judicial decisions, and you do that in the realms of heaven, and you do it using the court system of heaven if necessary to deal with what are the accusations and what are the enemy's access points to bring these divisions or separations or issues in place. Now, you know, where that personally fails, and I'm obviously aware that you have had some of these situations. It's like, and several people have, and several people have come to me asking for, okay, well, what do you do? How do we deal with this? And having also had the same situation myself, which was unresolved from the position of trying to resolve it personally, then you have to operate in heavenly government. And that means you need to make sure that the enemy is not going to use that situation, or the if it's control or manipulation or stuff that's going on, to affect vulnerable people and to damage them or to give access to the enemy into those situations, which does create problems. Now, if the person listens and is willing to accept and repent, great, no problem. If they're not, then you have to exercise government. And for me, in exercising government, in going to the court about these things, it's like, okay, you have a mandate to call for it to be exposed, for this to come into the light so that more and more people would actually see what's going on, and they would begin to challenge that or see it and therefore not be vulnerable to it. You know, and ultimately, if you're working in the culture of honor and you're asking questions and you're saying, okay, what's the issue behind this? What's the root to this? Why is this taking place? And no one, and the person doesn't respond and they don't answer the questions and they're not willing to work through the process, then you actually, Jesus said, and Paul also said, you have to put them out of fellowship. You can't have fellowship with those that are operating in that realm if they're not willing to come into reconciliation and open it. Now that's where it becomes really difficult, because then potentially you get sides being taken, and depending on what happens, you know, it can get really messy. But we have a kingdom responsibility when we're operating in heavenly government for what's going on in the earth. And sometimes, you know, Jesus, when he dealt with the religious or political spirit that was operating, he wasn't very pleasant about it. You know, he dealt with it seriously. You know, oh, there's all this stuff going on in the Father's house. Well, we know that in our own lives is the Father's house. And when there's stuff going on inside of us of conflict, we have to deal with that conflict. We have to deal with the issues that are in ourselves as the house of God, so that we're in harmony and oneness and wholeness, and God is flowing through us. We can also see that the church is a house of God, and if there's conflict within the house of God, then we have to deal with it. Now, Jesus gave plenty of opportunity for people to respond to his teaching, and when they didn't respond to his teaching, he was pretty severe on what he did. Like, he platted a whip and then turned the money changers' tables over and whipped them out of the house of God. Serious stuff. I mean, you know, I'm sure he didn't do that lightly. And he didn't do it out of any sense of malice, but he was holding the house of God to such high regard but he was willing to challenge what was going on because it was misrepresenting God and the kingdom. And actually that issue of the issue in the temple was all about money. They had money changing tables there to sell two people who had to come according to the law and bring sacrifices and offerings to the temple. Well, they weren't allowed to bring their own doves and other animals. They had to buy them off those that were making money out of it, which was the priests, who were finding from previous generations they were no longer being funded in such a way. They had to now make their own money after they returned from exile, and all this stuff was going on, which Jesus saw, and he severely dealt with it, you know. And in the same way, you know, when they had to bring money as the temple tax, they couldn't bring ordinary coins. They had to buy the coins off those who were in authority there, and so they were making money. So the whole thing was around the issue of money in the house of God, and that's a huge one. It's, you know, you can talk about lots of things. As soon as you start talking about money, everyone gets, ooh, you don't want to go there. You know, that's on sacred cows. Well, actually, we've got to slay a whole load of sacred cows of no-go areas and things that are not talked about, and people are unwilling to deal with those things, because we have to see that the house of God, Jesus said, is a house of prayer, which meant a house of relationship, and therefore those things were unacceptable. Now, he dealt with them really severely. And then, you know, when he then challenged the Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers and others, you know, he called them, you know, whitewashed tombs, you know, a brood of vipers. I mean, it wasn't pleasant. I think people think Jesus was gentle Jesus, meek and mild, and he never said anything to anyone that would cause offense. He offended virtually everybody, including his own mother and his own family and the disciples and the rulers of the land and the religious people. He offended everyone because he brought the truth. You know, and he didn't have to say those things, but he did say it because it brought things into relief and brought, this is the truth. Are you going to accept the truth? You know, so I think when we do this, our hearts have to be motivated correctly, which is making sure that they're not motivated by anything of hurt and stuff in us, which is a challenge in itself, because we have to clear those things away first. Make sure that we're willing to forgive and release people from what they do and have done, and then look at our own motives of our hearts and see, why did we react that way? Was there something that pushed some of our buttons? But when we've taken the log out of our own eye, then we have the right to point out the speck in someone else's. And that was what Jesus actually told us to do. Take the log out of our own eye, make sure we're not coming from our own stuff. But once we're clear of that, then we should not be afraid of speaking the truth in love and bringing that truth into a situation for the purpose of not judgment to death, but judgment for life. To actually say, hey, this here is going to bring life if you accept this. Now, you know, a lot of this stuff is when we sort of outwork it with people in earthly situations, but we have to be able to bring heavenly government into it as well. And when you begin to see the enemy's access into the house of God, A, into a person's life, or into the church, and into the wider kingdom, then we have to be willing to actually step up like Jesus and start acting. That won't be very popular with everybody, but actually, Jesus wasn't worried about being popular with everyone. He just wanted to do what he saw the Father doing. So if he saw the Father doing something which was bringing judgment on the systems of government and the systems of religious systems of the time, then that's what he did. Jesus would have not, you know, whipped people out of the temple if his Father had not been authorizing him to do that. So the God was not in a position of being very happy about what was going on in what was called his house. So it's like, okay, we need to deal with it. You know, and the higher the governmental authority goes in the realms of heaven, the more you have to actually exercise that authority and deal with it. Now, you know, and if people do not respond to, you know, true government, then the consequences are theirs. You know, and sometimes, you know, God takes people right out of the situation, removes them from it. Sometimes physically, sometimes, you know, because of, you know, if you think about taking communion, which we're looking at doing that more and more as a taking on the body and blood of Jesus, Paul talked about what happens when you don't do that correctly by not judging the body correctly. And there were people who were sick and there were people who had died, who were asleep, dead, because they were not correctly judging the body and making sure they operated in love. Now, that's pretty serious. So having unity and relationship within the house of God is something that God takes really seriously. And therefore we also need to. And we have to be willing to go the extra mile to bring about reconciliation and restoration in relationship. But if the person is unwilling, then we have to make a judgment in the courts of heaven to deal with that. You know, and that judgment for us, maybe we have to separate fellowship from those people, because that's what Paul said to do. You know, you can't walk with those who are walking in darkness. I'm not talking about the people in the world. I mean, we have to engage them and bring light to them. So I'm not talking about separating ourselves from people. I'm talking about separating ourselves from those that were not walking in the light within the body. Now, it's a serious thing to do that, but you have to. And, you know, I mean, I've had to do it as well recently over probably the same issue. But it is a serious issue. You know, I did see someone today come out with a statement to say something similar publicly. I mean, I've not publicly made that statement because I didn't feel led to do so. But in reality, these things are going to take place as God starts cleaning house. You know, you cannot operate right in righteousness in heaven and not begin to make right choices of holiness on earth.
You know? That's what it feels like. It feels like the lesson, I mean, I've learned a lot this week because I've had a lot of practice. It's just really interesting. I feel like I'm in a classroom. The first one kind of knocked me sideways because I was, you know, it came at me. So it came and got me. But the second issue, as I've been hovering over my city and legislating and learning how to do things in the courts, and even saying, you know, if this is, you know, this has to leave my city, and so it starts to stir things up, and it's true, it's like each example has been a person who feels their right to be right, and there's a little bit of repentance, but it's almost like you know, because repentance, you turn away, right, and do something different than what you were doing.
Yeah.
But it's, I guess it's not true when you turn back and do the same thing. And I mean, and this other, this is actually leaving. So it's been instances where there hasn't been a resolution of conflict. So it seems kind of harsh, but anyway, yeah. That was good.
Yeah, and you know, in these things, you know, when we are in a governmental situation, we are gatekeepers, and we are responsible for what we allow into our spheres of government, and God holds us responsible, and we're accountable for that. And so, you know, if my sphere of government is my life, first of all, as the first pattern of government, I'm responsible for what I allow in. A, what I put inside my body, what I see with my eyes, what I hear with my ears. I'm responsible for my attitudes and my heart, and I'm responsible for being purified and refined and being transformed and changed. It's my responsibility what I do in the gateways of my own life, and I'm accountable to God for it. If I'm in governmental authority in, let's say, an ecclesia type setting, then I'm responsible for what comes in and out. So, you know, I'm not going to invite certain ministries to come into that setting when I don't believe they're bringing truth, or they're bringing an old version of truth. You know, and I'm responsible because the people will listen to what I allow into the gate. And we've had to do that here locally, in that, you know, some people were inviting certain speakers in that were creating a negative thing. And in the end, we had to challenge those people. Were they willing to submit bringing people in to the whole church's together group to actually see, do we feel this is actually something we as gatekeepers want coming into our area? It challenged people, because it was like, well, what right have you got to tell us? Well, actually, we're gatekeepers, you know, and therefore, we had to do stuff. Personally, I did stuff in the heavens to close the doors to certain things coming in, because I knew they were going to bring error or a mixture into our area, and I didn't want that going on, you know, and we are responsible for those things. And, you know, we do need to take the responsibility seriously. Now, we must keep our hearts right. I mean, the key in this, it's like we're not judging the person. It's the dynamic and spiritual stuff that's operating in them. We have to love people, but we can't love what they're doing if they're not doing things which are good. You know, so we have to separate ourselves from the person themselves, and we have to love, even if they're enemies, we have to love them. Let alone people who are actually part of the body, we have to love them. It's a prerequisite. We've got no choice. But Jesus loved everybody, and he did deal with things. I mean, even his own disciples, you know, he wasn't averse to saying, well, haven't you guys got this yet? You know, how long am I going to be with you? And you're still not getting this. You know, sometimes he challenged them, you know, and therefore I think we've got to be in love, but willing to do what it takes, you know, and that isn't easy, and it's not always easy. And in a sense, it's easier when it's just you're dealing with spiritual things in the spiritual realm. You know, I can deal with dragons and giants. They basically have to bow and come under the sword of God. And so I've never trouble with that. It's like it's people that the issue is with, you know, so, you know, and therefore, potentially, it gets messy, which is why we must deal with it in the court system and have a mandate for action. You know, I would not deal with anything that was not within my sphere or I was not mandated to do. You know, and therefore, we need to go and find out. Let's get a mandate. If we need a mandate, am I authorized to do this? Because if I'm authorized, then I have the backing of heaven and the host of heaven behind me. If I'm not authorized, then, you know, I'm alone, and I don't want to be in that place. You know, so I really need to make sure my heart's right in some of these things. Because sometimes it's like our emotions get stirred. I mean, it's like injustice, and it's like that isn't fair, and which is probably true, but we have to deal with that emotion first before then we are able then to deal with it in whichever way we have to deal with it. But, you know, this is not going to decrease. You know, next year, I know there is warfare coming. Yeah, there's warfare coming next year. And we have to learn. This is why we're learning some of this stuff now. So, you know, let's get all our mistakes out of the way now and learn how we can then administer warfare, you know, because it was Jesus who said he came to bring fire to the earth and a sword. You know, that's what Jesus said he came to bring. You know, and it is a challenge. You know, I don't like confrontation like anybody else. You know, I keep getting given a sword. You know, I had several heavy encounters over the weekend where I was given a sword, and, you know, and I had an encounter with the ox, and it was just like right in my face, like, you need to take this sword. You know, previous two times they've taken sword, I really didn't want to take it and battled. You know, I remember I was in a conference with Jill, actually, you know, shortly before she died, and God wanted to give me a sword, and I basically resisted it, and he shook me, like, physically, violently shook me until I gave in. You know, it was just like, I was like a rag doll. Whenever I went into a session of this conference, it was like he just shook me, and I was just like, what is going on? And in the end, it was like, okay, I get the message. I'll take the sword. Well, I immediately used that sword and offended a whole load of people, not deliberately. I just brought a word of government, and it offended a whole load of people. And I was just like, so I know what swords do. You know, the second sword, I was slightly more willing because I didn't want to get shaken around. But this one, it was like, I took this sword, and I know it is to do with what's coming next year. And, you know, because this sword draws a line and challenges people to cross the line, you know. But I it's not something I sort of looked for. You know, it's just God keeps giving me it. But, you know, I also had to have an encounter with the man of the four faces of God to see the priestly function that would bring this governmental authority from his perspective, you know. So it was going to come in a way not to make it acceptable, but to make sure that it was not coming from out of anything which was just harsh. Because prophetic stuff can be quite harsh sometimes, you know, and I want the heart of God in the judgment to draw people into life, not condemn them into death, you know. And so there is this level and understanding that we are going to have to bring these things. And I don't believe it will be easy, particularly when there are friendships and relationships and things where suddenly people are on other sides of the line that you never thought would be. You know, but then that's what Jesus said. You know, it could divide families. You know, even to the point where he said to those that, well, who are my family? You know, where are my loyalties? Who are my actual family? Well, for him, it wasn't just flesh and blood. It was actually those who were in the kingdom. You know, and that does challenge us in our own personal family relationships and the priorities we put on things, and it's a challenge. You know, I'm going through some of that stuff myself at the moment, and it's like, you know, it really is a challenge, and there are some decisions I have to make which are not going to be easy decisions, but I know God is asking me to put him first in some things which I got no choice about, really, but I know it's going to upset and offend some people, which I don't look forward to doing at all, but I'm sort of between a rock and a hard place. And when it comes to it, I have to say yes to God. And if I don't, I'm going to be in serious trouble. If I do, I'm going to be in serious trouble, but it's less serious trouble than being on the wrong side of God. You know, I'd rather be on the wrong side of people than the wrong side of God, even though it's not pleasant. But, you know, these are some of the things where, if we're stepping up into government, we have to face some of these decisions, and they're not easy. But yeah, there we go.
So I have something to say. I guess I'm talking today. What do you know? Well, okay. So while you're talking, I mean, seriously, my spirit is like at attention. You're feeding something that's so necessary. And I'm so excited. But I also have to say that, and I know that you would agree about the timing, to be meek and wait for the timing, and then it can be even more powerful when you've waited for that time. And I think I've seen people jump ahead and just jump in because they think somebody has to say something, and that they jump in too quick. And so I just wanted to say, like, recently I've had to do this, and I waited, and then when the time was right, it was perfect, you know, and it was like, I had to do what I had to do, otherwise it's like what you're saying, it's God or them, you know, it's one or the other, you can't sleep at night, or you know, and then you just say, I did not come here for this, or whatever, and then it's powerful, and then they're quiet, and it does what it needs to do, it's like, boom, and so I sense the same thing, that things are going to be happening that are going to be really earth-shaking as the light comes down. So, yay, you're saying good things there.
It's not easy, though, is it? You know, I mean, I don't say it lightly because I don't find it easy myself. I mean, you know, no. But I understand that it's so important. That we're willing to take responsibility. But I think the process of making sure our heart is right is often the time of preparation that enables it to take place. Because I think that's you know, always judging our own hearts and our own motives first removes the element of I am going to react to a situation to I can respond to this in the timing of God correctly. Yeah.
It's interesting. Are you there?
Yeah.
It's interesting. You kind of froze there for a minute. It's interesting because as we start to, you know, clean our gaze, cleanse our DNA, all that stuff, you know, sight starts to get really clear, like clarity. And so I guess it's, you know, and then learning how to deal with what we're seeing, and then dealing with the confrontation in a way that is loving. And I think that the thing that I learned this week was the separating of the flesh. You know, we don't wrestle with flesh. And so learning how to actually do that, but not backing away and saying, you know, this is for the mercy of God for that person, to free them from what's controlling. And a lot of times most of the time we've all backed away, so we haven't really ever dealt with it. So I'm thank you for addressing all that.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. So anything else we can talk about? Anything exciting, positive as well?
I thought that was positive because we're all dealing with different avenues of it. Like you said, the family. Yeah. I mean, head on right there.
Yeah, I'm in that one right now, so.
Thank you, Gracie. I was going to mention that whole thing, but yeah, I mean, what are you doing? I mean, you try the framing, you try the repenting, you step in, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you seeing good results?
Well, I think it is positive. Oh, sorry. I think it is positive because Arthur Burke says once we get to level 5, which is confrontation, and if we do it well, it should lead to deeper intimacy, right?
Yeah.
So, right.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we just need an encounter.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, let's go and encounter God. That'd be great. Yeah.
You're gonna join us, Mike, huh?
Yeah, time for an encounter. Okay, that'll be good. I think the place to encounter God in this really is to go to Wisdom's Heights. You know, I think when we need wisdom for a situation, whether it's governmental or relational, to bring the government of God into it, wisdom is, you know, is the one to go to, and she can give us insight into the protocols of that. And also there's just wonderful, you know, these wonderful pathways there, these ancient paths, that we can engage in some ancient things. I mean, I don't know if you've come across any of the these ancient ones that people are talking about, you know, sort of like so cloaked or hooded, or, you know, they're carrying something of the mysteries of God, and, you know, there's quite a lot of sort of chatter around it. You know, I've been asked a few questions about it. I think when we engage on the ancient paths, where, you know, I think it says in Jeremiah 10, I think, about Jeremiah 6, about, you know, engaging God on the ancient paths, and looking for the ancient paths. You know, there's things that we can engage with in the ancient pathways that God has established that can bring us into a new revelation. And I think some of these ancient ones seem to show up at points where we need to make sure we're on the right path, you know, and there can be life-changing encounters with some of these creatures, let's say, or beings or people, and depending on where you're coming from and who they are, you know, my current probably perspective is they're Adam and Eve's children who didn't sin, you know, before the fall. But, you know, they certainly are part of the ancient pathways, and wisdom has those pathways on her heights and the doorways that can give us access into spheres of government and into other things. So maybe we'll just go and hang out there and see what we can glean there, which will be good. Okie dokie. All right. Okay, well, we have an open heaven over us, so I'd encourage you to just to let your spirit engage as we just step through that open heaven, as we step into the realm of heaven. Thank you, Jesus, that you're here to meet with us, to begin to engage with us, and we breathe the atmosphere of heaven as we step in through the doorway of your presence. We just ask right now that you would lead us to that place of engagement. Take us through the realms of your kingdom. Take us to the heights. To engage wisdom. We just engage in wisdom's heights. Wisdom, you call to us to come. So we come to your pillars. We come to engage with you. We just look into your eyes, into those deep pools of revelation, and we just embrace you as wisdom to us. We just bring before you those situations and circumstances in our lives right now that cry out for your input, the revelation and the protocol that we need to understand to bring kingdom government into these situations that we face. So we just embrace you. Wisdom's heights, the ancient pathways meet, and ancient ones walk. So we ask wisdom for introduction to those ancient pathways where our destiny and the pathway that's come from eternity, where we tread, that we would engage those pathways. Perhaps the ancient ones that are key milestones and pointers. We just ask that you would just lead us to encounter something deeper, more ancient, and the pathways from eternity. Here on Wisdom Heights is the gateway into the city of God. There may be rooms that you need to engage in God's city, if you can see that gateway and a walk through it, or the doorways on Wisdom's Heights that gives us access into the different realms of government. Just ask you, Wisdom, if you would take us or lead us through a doorway of encounter. just going to leave it there. But I just encourage you just to continue to engage and to allow wisdom to lead and direct and open revelatory pathways of engagement for you.